Good morning, everybody. I was waiting for Barney's cue of the on the video. So how's everybody this morning? It's a great, great start to our fellowship, huh? I love that song, and we play the Body, Soul, and Spirit song from a few years back. And then Barney had put pictures of everybody in this room. Well, not everybody got in this one, but many people in this room and not in this room. Well, that song was playing, you know, and it said, I got Holy Spirit from my head down to my toes. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost for anyone who chooses to believe Romans 10, 9, and 10 and get born again. And at that point in time, we are filled with that gift of Holy Spirit that God poured out on the day of Pentecost. And next Sunday is the day of Pentecost. And in the Christian church, it was a magnificent day for the believers. We're going to see a few things as I share today, because that's what we're going to talk about, is that pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the profit and benefit that it is to our lives today. You know, before the day of Pentecost, after Jesus Christ ascended, his disciples, in fact, pretty much since the time he was taken from the garden and crucified, that whole period of time, which is 50 days total, they were hiding. They were afraid for their lives behind closed doors. But then Jesus Christ talked to them. Go to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. And this is right before he's ascending into heaven. Now, if you read through the Gospels, you guys will find out, especially in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus Christ is spending the last few hours he has, the last few weeks with his disciples and especially the apostles. And he shares about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. In fact, John the Baptist shared about that, because the word clearly tells us that John the Baptist baptized with what? Water. But someone who is greater, and who was he talking about? Jesus Christ will come, and he will baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. That account is mentioned in every gospel. And now, not every account of everything Jesus did is recorded in every gospel, but that specific account is. It's very much recorded in the book of John's more than anywhere else. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this was a very important event. And now just think about, you're with someone you really, really love. It's the last time you're going to see them for a while, and you know it. What are you going to share with them? How the weather is? The things of this world? No. You're going to share with them the most important thing that could help them in their lives. And that's what Jesus Christ did. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive and his passion by the infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now remember, during that time, there was doubtful Thomas, and he showed him his hands. He met with them periodically, and he always shared the power of the Holy Ghost. He always shared the power of God with them and taught them about the love of God. And that's his emphasis. And it's good for us to realize that, because we're going to be using it. And being assembled together with them, in verse 4, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, John had talked about this. Now Jesus Christ is giving them very specific directions and instructions on what to do to receive this. So go to Acts 2, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in place. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version, so it might be a little different than what you're looking at. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them, And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the first time since the garden, since Spirit was in man at the garden, and he lost that authority and power. That's what died that day when he was disobedient to God's word and ate of the tree with his wife. This is the first day since then that Holy Spirit, that connection that they had in the garden with Adam, became available to man. This is huge. This is not some little, oh, that's nice. No, no. This is powerful. You see that little kitty looking at that lion? Well, when you look in the mirror, do you see you and your weaknesses and your failures and your, or do you see Christ in you? Christ in you. Jesus Christ. Think about him. He's in you. That's not a joke. That's a living, breathing, spiritual reality in our lives. I see a lot of things happen on the day of Pentecost. These guys weren't fearful anymore, were they? You keep reading in the book of Acts, and Peter gets up there, and he just looks at those Sadducees and Pharisees. You crucified him. You killed the Lord. He was not afraid anymore. What changed him? When he received power from on high, he knew all those things in the Gospels that Jesus Christ shared with those guys about being born again of God's Spirit. He tells them it's going to be God in me and you. It's going to be you and me and God. He tells them now this is living for them. Now this has happened. Even the fire, you know, remember in the Old Testament, God would send a fire and burn up the offerings. It was an indicator. What was the fire an indicator of? Acceptance. Well, Jesus Christ offered his life, right? And he went and presented himself to God. And on the day of Pentecost, which never happened after that that we know of, that's recorded in any place, was tongues of fire on those 12 apostles. Christ was an accepted sacrifice for you and me. It changes us. It changes our capability, our power, our strength. It's not in us anymore. It's in Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, many things happened. We learned about operating the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We learned we could heal people. We could raise people from the dead. We can walk with the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering, tenderness. I mean, we have so much in that package. But the most powerful part of that package is God in Christ in you and me. That's our power source. We can't blow that. The only way we can blow it is not to believe it. It's still there. But if we don't use it, it ain't going to manifest. You know why? Because God is a God who gave us a free will. Now, you have a God who loves us. We all have a God who loves us so much that he gave us the ability to have a relationship with him that there is no one else we got to go to anymore. Jesus Christ even told them, you won't come to me. You won't ask anything of me from now on. You ask of the Father in my name, and it will be done for you. Do you believe that? Man, I tell you what, when you start looking at this from the Word and you see the things that Christ did, you know what? Christ in you isn't just a saying. It's a living reality of who you are. And if we want to see things change in our lives, then we need to believe that when we look in the mirror, we see the guy who lives within us. We don't see our failures. We don't see that stuff. You know, go to Ephesians chapter 2, because I want to show you where we were before the day of Pentecost, where man was, and before we chose to believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, where you and I were. So it's Ephesians chapter 2, and you he made alive, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Now listen, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Okay, that's where you were. That's where I was. We were part of that. Because We were born with that sin nature. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's not a good place to be, is it? And you know what? We can have Christ living within us, but if we don't acknowledge that and control our thinking and line up the things of in God's word with how we want to live and conduct our lives, we can still look like that. It's ugly. It's selfishness. It's greed. It's you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But if you get in my way, I'm going to step on you. It's lies. It's deceit. That's where we were. But we don't want to be there, do we? No. But God. Look at those words. But God. But God, who is rich in what? Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you were saved. And raised up. He didn't just save us. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. His workmanship. Created in who? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has already prepared good works for us to walk in. He's already prepared them. He's given us the ability and the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Look in the Gospels, you guys. You want to learn how to make this a living reality in your life? Go to the Gospels and just read how Jesus Christ handled things, how he handled other people, how he handled groups of people. Yeah, he could kick some booty to the Pharisees and scribes, right? And he did that at the proper time. But what you really see is how did he work with God's people? Because that's who lives within us. And now we're dealing with God's people in our day-by-day walk. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. I want Christ to be what you see in me. I want you to see his compassion, his love, his joy, his happiness. I want you to see the glory of God in Christ in me. That's what I want you to see. But I have to manifest that. I have to choose. Jesus Christ's life was a life of a servant, wasn't it? He served God. God was his father, but he obeyed God at every step he took. Did he not? Was he tempted? Just like we're tempted? The word says he was. In fact, he says he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without what? Think about that for a minute. On the day of Pentecost, this magnificent miracle happened, and he became alive in each one of us. When you confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, on that day, Jesus Christ became alive inside of you. You can walk with his heart. You can walk with his joy. You can walk with his wisdom. You can do what God directs you to do. And you can be a servant to God and to each other. We can do that. That's what we're called to do. That is the most important thing that reigns within us, is the ability to let people see Christ in us. In Galatians, it talks about to be good, especially unto the household of faith. Especially unto the household of faith. But we are to be good unto all men. And you know what? If we can manifest this among each other, if we can be this way for one another, it strengthens us as a church to reach out to others that have no clue how to do this. But when they see it in our life, when they see the forgiveness of Christ, that's a tough one, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to forgive, but it's always right to forgive. We have that power and ability. When you think you don't have it, you're wrong. You're wrong. We got it. Look at that little kitty cat. I think this is such a great example of what we can see when we look in the mirror. We can control our thinking, and we can control our minds to go, man, I am so thankful I have Christ in me. Look at that, man. I can do the things of Jesus Christ. You want to raise someone from the dead? You want to walk with that kind of power? Then just do it, because you've already been given it. Go to Colossians 1. We're going to go to verse 27. Remember, it is God in Christ in you that can walk those good walks, those good works that God has prepared for us. It's like Joel Osteen was talking about. You know what? We want to do the things that God's prepared for us. So if it has the big sign on it, don't open. We don't want it to open. We may not understand that in the moment, but that's where trust and confidence in our Father comes in. Do you think Jesus Christ had trust and confidence in God? Sure. Does that mean he never questioned God? Nope. Because he did, didn't he? In the garden. Is there any way to let three times? But not my will, but what? Jesus Christ served. He was a selfless servant. And you know what? That's what we need to be. We need to give our hearts and life to God in service to him and his people, to each other. And we see it in one another. I look around this room and I can think of incidences with everybody in this room that brought joy to my life, that blessed me. And you could too, if you stopped and thought about it. Okay, Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. So you wake up some morning and you've had a bad night, or you've had a bad week, or you had a bad afternoon, but you wake up and you're like, look in the mirror, you're like, oh, no, wait. It's Christ in me. I have the hope of glory. That means I'm going to be victorious. I am going to be what God's called me to be. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to say what God asked me to say, and I am going to do it without regret. I am going to walk in the power of the glory of God. I'm going to be who God called me to be with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to kick the devil's butt every chance I get. I am going to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am going to stand in the gap. I'm going to reach out to somebody new and let them see the Christ in me. Let them want what I have so that I can help get them back into a relationship with God. What a privilege. What an honor. I mean, he could have put a lot of things in us on the day of Pentecost, but he put his spirit in Christ in us. My gosh, when you think about that. Go to Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Wow, that's simple. Is it challenging sometimes? Yep. Because we have these emotions, these feelings, the adversary tries to manipulate and control to get us to look at a circumstance or a situation or a pain that we're dealing with. So it's not always easy, right? But it's always doable. And that's what we have to remember. We can walk in him, but we have to believe it. We have to walk like he walked. We have to have his compassion, his understanding, his forgiveness. We have to have his commitment. But guess what? It lives within you, so it's there. You just don't get talked out of it. You know, sometimes I just have to get mad at the adversary. I have to get mad at the circumstance. And then I'm like, no, I am not putting up with this. No, I am not going to think evil. I am not going to not forgive. Yes, that person hurt me. I don't care. God says forgive. Christ says he's in me. I can do that, and I do it. And when we do those things, there is always benefit in our lives and in the people's lives that we are walking with and living with and fellowshipping with. It's Christ in us, you guys. I know we've heard that for years, right? So what, Vicki? Big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. It's not just big, it's huge. And when we are not walking in victory, the first thing we need to do is, what am I doing with my mind? Am I putting on the mind of Christ? Am I literally taking my thoughts and lining them up with God's thoughts and then walking out on the things of God? That is what Jesus Christ did, you guys. That's what he did. And he was tempted. He was challenged. You think our country's in a bad way now? And yeah, there's problems here. But I want you to stop and think what it was like when he walked. Everybody and their brother pretty much in the government and in the church was after him, right? But did he let that make him run away? Did he kind of, well, you know, feel sorry for himself a little bit? No. No, he didn't. And that's what it takes. We have to line our thoughts up with the things of God and then do them. Not, well, I know I should forgive Vicki. I know, but I can't do it right now. Okay, you're right. As long as you sit there and confess that, you can't. But what about confessing who you are in Christ? What about going back to what God has placed within you freely and has good works for you to walk in, but you're not going to walk in them if you don't walk with him in the power and authority that was given to you on the day that you believed, Romans 10:9-10, which was first available on the day of Pentecost to man. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. God is writing through Paul that he beseeches us. He lovingly implores us. You walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. What is your calling? Do you understand what your calling is? It's God and Christ in you. That's what your calling is. Now, there's different types of functions within that calling, but we are called to the body of the church to minister and to give and to serve unselfishly. We are called to walk like Christ. We are enabled to walk like Christ by God Almighty. Nobody can change that. It can lay dormant if we decide to just leave it there, but you don't want to live like that. Trust me. It's so much more fun when you walk with God. Okay, verse 2. With all lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering. Yeah, it's going to take some guts. It's going to take standing in there sometimes and working with somebody's heart, backing the adversary down. Don't ever forget that that is your enemy. He is your enemy. He is your enemy. And Jesus Christ gave us all power and authority over him. There's no doubt about that. With all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Go to Galatians 2. I really want to challenge you guys, especially, you know, some of us that have been around for years and years and years and years and years. You know what? I want you to tell yourself every day this week, just this week, just do it. Every day, it is God and Christ in me. I have the victory. I have the compassion. I have the love. I have the enablements to do what God has worked for me to do, and I'm going to do it today. Just do it one day at a time. You will be amazed at little details that will all of a sudden be big, and you'll go, whoa, wow, that was cool. You'll see God work in a way you don't see him when we don't keep our heads together where they need to be. And we have to do that because Jesus Christ, he did that. And he did that in every circumstance and every situation. So can we. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is who lives inside of you. That is who you really are. You're not just Al Segovia, good guy, nice guy, got a great job, has a cool wife. No, that is Christ in Al. That is Christ operating in Al. That is Christ's love, Christ's looks, Christ's hands, Christ, Christ, Christ. This is huge, you guys. And sometimes I think we take so much for granted. But you know what? God still works with us. And he wants us to have that power, not just mentally, but living and real in our lives. This isn't just about me anymore, Vicki Barnhart. This is about God in Christ in Vicki Barnhart. And what does that give me the power, authority, and right to do? According to the matchless word of God. This is God's plan. This isn't our plan. I tell you what, we get on board with God and things are so different in our lives. And people look at us and why are you always in such a good mood? Well, did anything ever bother you, Vicki? Well, yeah. But you know what? I pray. And I grab my head and I don't let it bother me. That's allowing Christ in us to manifest itself. And that, my friends, honestly, is one of the greatest things that happened to us on the day of Pentecost, that God made that available, not just to those 12, but to everybody who chooses with their free will to make their God and their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the most important two focal points in their lives. And then it is a walk of joy and rejoicing. You know, so many times we see pictures of Jesus Christ and he's solemn, you know, or he's mystical, you know, with this light shining off the back of his head. And we get this picture in our mind. But I love the pictures where he's laughing and he's smiling and he's holding hands with children and he's dancing. Because you know what? That's the joy of manifesting the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, joy is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience, long-suffering, love, gentleness. That's our Christ. And I guarantee you, when we see him, he's not going to have some light shining from his whole face is going to be lit up. And we're going to be lit up because we're standing in the glory of God. So you know what, guys? He really, 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 really lives in each and every one of us. He really does. And God works with our personalities and the good works he has specifically for Jan and specifically for Judy and specifically for Bob. And he has specific things, good works for all of us to do. But we do it in unity of purpose because it is the same God in Christ in you that is in me, is in each and every one of us. So you guys, you know what? He never lived for himself. Jesus Christ, he always did the Father's will. And he lives in you. So let's live in him. When people see us, I don't want them to see my eyes. I want them to see the eyes of Christ. I want them to see that love, compassion, understanding, and fearlessness. I want the adversary to back down when I walk into a room. Because I know who I am in Christ, and he knows I know, and that settles it. He's out of here. That's the power we want to walk with as God's kids, and thank God for his love and his mercy and his grace, and thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us, and walk like he walks. God bless you. Thank you. You want to